It's Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and we're talking this week about coming out, all the different things we come out about and what that feels like. In this next piece, we're going to be talking about sexual assault. The piece lasts about 10 minutes, and we wanted to give you a heads up about the adult subject matter, as well as a few bleeped words. So, rape is incredibly common. The Justice Department says 18% of women in the U.S. have been raped. And if you think about that stat for a second, if you work in an office with a dozen women, on average, two of them have been raped. It's hard to think about it that way, but the woman we're about to hear from wants us to be thinking about it and talking about it a lot more. Her name is Yara Zaslow, and she was raped while serving in the Peace Corps in Burkina Faso back in 2013. The man she says assaulted her is on trial now, and she's had to fly back to Africa twice already. And she'll probably have to fly back six more times over the next 10 years as the trial grinds on. She's writing about her experience now, and she's raising money to help fight the stigma of being a rape survivor. But before she could do that, she had to come out. She talked with Sound Effects senior producer Arwen Nix, and she explained how she first publicly revealed her ordeal in this status update on Facebook.
Well, I feel like this is a bit of a coming out right now. Several of you know that I've been in this super shitty rape trial back in Burkina Faso, and now I found out today that the news I'd be returning soon, as of September 2014, is now sometime in 2016. Because who doesn't want a 30-hour flight that ends in a traumatizing series of accusations from a bunch of homophobic police officers and judges and the accused to ever end? This is year three of what will be a 10 to 15-year process. This will be over, and I will have children in middle school. I will be in my 40s. I will be middle-aged. I will never be able to move on because I will always be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
Why did you post that?
I couldn't be alone about it anymore. You know, it is so hard to be sad, but it's also hard to be sad when no one really knows why. And I could no longer live as though I was fine.
So as you're sitting there, getting ready to draft this, what's going through your head? I mean, you have 1,000 Facebook friends. This wasn't going out to just 100 people.
Right.
This was going out to friends and friends of friends.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I wrote maybe 15 different things into that little cell on Facebook, and I kept deleting each one because they were all so cryptic. I had said things like, Mondays are the worst, or like, you know, I really need a pizza and a back rub, like something like that. And then finally, I was like, you know what? What am I so ashamed of? Why is what happened to me something that I have to hide? Why? What? This fear of making other people uncomfortable because of my own discomfort, because of my very real pain. It seemed like I was just giving myself like a terrible heartburn and an ulcer or something. So I finally was like, you know what? I don't want to be ashamed anymore. And I came out.
What changed?
I realized that little by little I would talk about it with people and they would say, oh, you know, that happened to me. And of course, it's a very different, each experience with sexual assault and violence is different. But we're all holding these really tragic stories inside ourselves. And it wasn't until I started talking about it with one person and then another, so much of it comes out and you end up realizing, or at least I ended up realizing that by not talking about it, it was almost like I wasn't trusting that other people had their own stories to tell about it too.
So with this shift in perspective in yourself and the way you've decided to approach coming out as someone who has survived a sexual assault, have you found that with that switch and the way you talk about it, that the reaction from people is different?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had really thought that I was burdening people. Sometimes I still feel that way. I feel apologetic about it. I think as women, we tend to be socialized to want to apologize for things. You know, I found that I'm not having to protect people as much as I thought I would have to. I'm so afraid of making other people uncomfortable or making people feel sorry for me. I don't want pity. I don't want anything but compassion, I guess, and understanding, and people maybe giving me an inch if I'm just being weird or something.
I think that you'd be reluctant to call yourself a spokesperson. But someone who is out there in the public eye talking about surviving sexual assault, do you find that more and more people are coming to you with their stories?
Absolutely.
And how does that make you feel hearing other people's stories?
Pretty f***ing pissed off, honestly. I mean, it's awful. It's awful to know how frequent it is, how common it is. That is the hardest part. I mean, when I left my post, by the time the rest of my friends had left, six of us had been sexually assaulted. And many of them didn't report. Some of them only told me. There is this rage. There's this like very visceral rage inside me at this point. And I think the best thing that we can do is just, it's like Dan Savage always says, you know, if you're gay, you got to tell everybody that you're gay, because the only time that queer people are going to have rights is if everybody knows a queer person. I feel like the only way we're going to get recognition and protection for survivors of assault is if everybody knows someone who's been assaulted. And you know what? You do. Every single person you know knows someone. It's just that the numbers are too high and it's too common for you to not know someone.
So you've come out as a survivor of this, but you also came out as gay, and you said that coming out as a survivor of rape was obviously very different, but much more difficult.
Absolutely. I thought coming out as being a gay person would be the most difficult thing I'd ever have to do. And granted, I had to do it a lot, and I have to do it every day, but it's always a kind of a party. I'm always kind of excited about being gay. Like, I love being gay. Like, I want to tell everybody I'm gay. But and I'm not like one of those like quiet gays either. I'm like one of those like, you know, I'm gay, you know. But coming out about sexual assault is different because there's no pride in it. You know, I'm not proud of what happened. It's not I'm talking about my partner, and that's because I'm gay. Let's move on with our conversation. It's, I'm a survivor of sexual assault. How do you need to process this with me? Or like, how can I process this with you? It's complicated. It's a complicated conversation, and there's no pride in it.
There's also the idea that there are perhaps some survivors of sexual assault who don't want to think about it anymore.
Of course. And I do not begrudge anybody that. People definitely don't want to think about it, and that makes sense, and I get that. People have different ways of dealing with things. Honestly, who am I to say what anyone's method of dealing with it is? You know, I would never want someone to put themselves in a situation where they feel unsafe, where they feel vulnerable and exposed if that is not okay for them. You know, I mean, this is it's a question of consent. You know, at what point is it okay for you? Is it comfortable for you to come out, and at what point is it not? I'm never going to tell my grandparents, you know, and I couldn't tell my dad. I had to ask my mom to tell my dad. And the reason I had to tell so many people was because of this trial. But if that trial wasn't happening, would I tell people? I don't know. Probably not.
What do you wish you could have said to people before you told them that you had been raped?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would tell the listener that it's scary to talk about it, not just because you have to relive it, not just because you have to think about it, not just because you have to acknowledge that it happened, but because I think a lot of people, like me, feel like they're burdening the listener. If you're listening to someone tell you that, know that they already trust you.
What happens next? Are you done coming out about this?
I don't think I'll ever be done. That's, you know, that's what gets me every time. Like, because this trial is so long, I can't really move on. You know, I can't ever stop thinking about it because I have to keep remembering stuff that happened. I have to keep, because if I forget it, I can't, it's not valid in court. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know what's next. Maybe, I guess it would be nice if I could feel like I could stop living on my toes, you know? If I could stop having such a rapid heart rate and maybe sleep a solid 8 hours. But I don't know if that's going to happen for a while.
Yara Zaslow is a teacher, a queer activist, and a writer. She spoke with Sound Effects senior producer Arwin Nix.